You're listening to a message from Gateway Church Geelong. We hope it blesses you. For more information about Gateway, visit gc.org.au.
We're going to come around His Word this morning. A couple of weeks ago, we spoke a message about take your place. But I really feel that God was not finished with that message. And I really feel that today's message is going to take you further in your relationship and your understanding of who God is, but who He wants to be in your life. He loves you so much this morning. He wants to see you have complete access to Him, that you can walk through any wall, any situation that you're faced with, because that's the God that we're in love with this morning. He's more in love with you than you are with Him, but He wants to show you that. He wants to reveal that to you this morning. So can you turn your Bibles with me this morning as we take our stand this morning upon the Word, who He's called us to be, from 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 to 10. If you're watching us online this morning, I want to welcome you this morning. I'm coming to your lounge room. So if you're sick this morning, I declare that you're going to be healed. If you have unrest this morning, I declare that you are going to have rest that comes from the Word of God this morning. So we welcome you, and I welcome everybody in this room. Let's start. Verse 6, if you bow low in God's awesome presence, He will eventually exalt you as you leave the timing in His hands. Pour out all your worries and stress upon them and leave them there, which means don't go fishing. Once you cast your cares upon Him, once you throw your cares upon Him, leave them there, for He always tenderly cares for you. And that's a place in God that He wants you to stand in, understanding with full knowledge that God cares for you, that you don't have to pick up those cares once you have given them to Him. That you don't need to control the situation with how it's going to make you feel better, that once you release them to God, that He tenderly, He affectionately, He lovingly cares for you this morning. Be well balanced and always alert, because your enemy, the devil, roams around incessantly like a roaring lion looking for its prey to devour. Take a decisive stand against him and resist every attack with strong, vigorous faith this morning. The faith comes through hearing the Word of God this morning and walking in the Word of God. For you know that your believing brothers and sisters around the world are experiencing the same kind of troubles you endure. And then after your brief suffering, the God of all loving grace, who has called you to share in His eternal glory in Christ, will personally and powerfully restore you and, yes, make you stronger than ever. Yes, He will set you firmly in place and He will build you up. You know, Jesus said that you will have trouble in this world, but take heart, not my heart, take His heart, because He has overcome the world. We heard this morning that we don't fight for a place of victory, we fight from a place of victory. God has overcome the world this morning, but what He wants to teach us and reveal to us is how to take His heart, because we all face challenge. We all face walls of challenge that come into every season, into our families, into our lives, into our relationships within our lives. But this morning, spiritual walls can actually be a gift from God that can radically transform us. Sometimes we always look at walls and think that they're from the enemy. But today I'm going to reveal to you, sometimes they are spiritual walls, not walls sent from the enemy, but walls in God, because He wants you to break through those walls and enter a door that once God opens, no man can shut. You know, in India, I hit a great wall. It wasn't the Great Wall of China, because I was in India. I hit a great wall. I'd gone on a missions trip when I was a young adult, and we were in a party of about 50 people from my church, from Adelaide. And so we went over to India, and, you know, we had an afternoon off, and I thought, wow, I'm in India. It was like stepping back into time. It was like opening up a history book and just going in and seeing the temples and smelling the smells and seeing what your eye could see. It was like stepping back into time with the dust on the ground everywhere, with all the culture, with all the people and imagery. It was the most wonderful, wonderful drink that you could just drink in. And I remember this afternoon we went to some temples where people were praying to so many gods that they have in their nation. I think it estimates that one person in India can have 300 gods to themselves, because that's how many gods there are in that nation. And as I walked around the temples and as I just enveloped myself in the culture and the people, it was just a wonderful sight to behold. And that night when we had come back from a restful afternoon, our team of 50 people were having a prayer meeting. But you see, in this moment, I could feel that the atmosphere had changed and something had happened that I wasn't aware of yet. As they were praying, somebody spoke up and said, "Oh, we've heard today that a group of young people have gone to the temples and we just feel that maybe your salvation is in jeopardy now." And I'm thinking, salvation in jeopardy? I went to a temple. Because in their hearts, in their minds, they believe that where the people there were sacrificing to their gods, it was somewhere that maybe as Christians we shouldn't be. And something might have happened to our faith along the way. And as they were speaking to us, them being older than me at my time and me having this relationship with adults where I needed to respect and honor them as my peers, as they were talking about saying that I'd lost my faith, I knew in my spirit that something was wrong. You see, I had enough of God in me to know that what they were saying was contrary words compared to the word of God. You see, once you become a child of God, unless you take yourself out of being a child of God, nothing can alter your salvation because of the grace and the truth of Jesus Christ. When you have Jesus Christ in your life, He will never leave you, nor will He fail you, nor will He forsake you, because you are His son and you are His daughter. And today you need to understand, He is madly in love with you. Everything that God did on that cross dying for you, you have access to. And I had salvation in my spirit. I had salvation in my life. But when these contrary words came to what I knew from the word of God, I knew something was wrong. They asked us to give our lives back to the Lord again. And I was thinking, well, I don't think I actually lost anything, but out of respect, I'm going to do that. But let me tell you, I was so mad. I was filthy, rotten, mad, angry to boot. And so I went up to my room, which was concrete walls all around. There were no windows. I was on an upstairs level and I couldn't see anything below. And I said to God, "What in the world is going on here? There's a wall in front of me. Don't you know, God, that I have saved $2,800 to get on a plane and to come over here? I've seen more things in you back in Adelaide than I have here. What have you got me here for? What is your purpose? Why did I spend all this money and take holiday leave just to hear these things from adults that I know not to be true? God, what is it that you are saying to me? I hear the voices shouting at me. I hear the voices declaring their truth to me. But God, I need to know not what they're saying. What is it that you're saying?" And this is how you have to approach God. If you don't understand what is happening in the natural, you have a God that you have ready access to know what it is that He's saying into your life. The voices are screaming, but what is your God saying to you? Because when God speaks to you, it changes your life forever. And I hit a wall in my life. But you see, on the other side of that wall was a door that God wanted to open. But I needed to go through a wall first. Just as a physical wall stops us from moving ahead, God sometimes stops us in our spiritual journey through a spiritual wall in order to radically transform our character and our lives. Often we are brought to the wall by circumstances and crisis beyond our control. But receiving not rejecting, receiving the gift in the wall, produced a door that God was opening to me, that if I would surrender, not to the voices, but if that I would surrender and come and hear from God and come face to face with Him, He would transform and did transform my life forever. We need to receive and discern when it is a wall that is spiritual from God, because that wall leads to a door that God will open and that no man can shut once door God has opened it. What looks like on one side your greatest obstacle is in fact a doorway to transformation that you can't see unless you face the wall and determine yourself to walk through it with the voice of God. It's not by sight. I knew what I was seeing in the natural. This would have to be a journey of faith. Faith is hearing the word of God and then walking in the word of God and believing Him, believing more in God than the voices, believing more in God than the circumstances or the opposition that is facing you. We can see the giants of opposition, but declaring that only He can do this, and you must get an answer from God Himself. God knows you. He knew you before you were born. He ordained you. He called you with a purpose that comes from the kingdom of God, that once that door is open to you and you walk through, no man can shut the purposes of God upon your life. You know, this wall produces a different spirit. It's a spirit that had Caleb and had Joshua, that even though that there was giants and there was opposition, once they heard the word of God that they could possess the land, the promised land, that they could walk into it and have everything that God promised it, their voices repeated back what God was saying to them in the promise. God, you have promised us this land. Therefore, no matter what the opposition, no matter what the giant, no matter what the circumstances, God, we can most certainly have all that you have called us to have. Even though there's opposition, we can still have it. Even though there may be delays in the natural, we can still have the promises of God that you have set for us. It produces a different spirit. It's not walking by sight, it's walking by the Spirit, the Holy Spirit that lives and breathes and dwells inside of you. It's a different spirit that walks in God's power and His transformation, not by my might, not by my power, but by His Spirit, says the Lord. You see, when you go through that door, it's with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the only one that can take down the enemy and walk you through that opposition and that wall to what is on the other side. What is on the other side? Your promises, your land of promises. That's what He said, I'm going to take you into the promised land. This is the land where you'll see God's promises fulfilled in your life. He wants you to possess all this in this season of your life right now. What is the greatest obstacle you face? Right now, what is the greatest opposition? What is the greatest limitations that you are facing right now in your life? Through crisis, life not going the way we thought or imagined it would, we start to question ourselves and we start to question God. We come aware of this tension between our spirit and our soul. In our spirit, knowing and hearing God can do all things. We hear these promises, we hear His words. But in the natural, in our mind, our will and emotions, we're trying to interpret why it's not working, why it hasn't come, and why we're not seeing those promises fulfilled. We have more questions than answers, and we don't know where God is, what He is doing, and how He is getting there, and when this will be over. This was the moment to close the door to your soul's interpretations and stand face to face for God, with God, for His interpretation. When God gives you a prompt in the Spirit, you cannot interpret God's words in your mind, your will, in emotions. You have to interpret the spiritual things by the Spirit of God that lives and dwells and resides. And then that's what controls. That's what directs. That's what steers your mind, your will, and your emotions. Walls are, in fact, a continual part of our ongoing relationship with God. There will be many walls with many seasons that come from God, because God wants to lead you to transformation, to a door that God, once he opens, no man can ever shut. It's not by might. It's not by anything I can do in my power. I've tried, but it's by the Spirit of God. And he wants to teach you how to bring your words in alignment to his words, and not wavering, standing in faith, standing in the promises. When the enemy and the opposition with what you see comes in the natural and tells you, why are you waiting so long? Why is it not happening? And you start to question God. That's when the Holy Spirit will remind you and help you and come alongside of you and say, don't waver. Don't waver. Don't walk by sight right now. You need to recall what the Spirit of God has spoken into your spirit. Don't interpret that in your natural right now, but bring it into alignment with the Word of God through the Spirit of God and hold on. You see, I come to a wall and I'd come face to face with God. This is what happens when you're 21. You say these ridiculous things because you think you know it all at 21. And I said to God, God, if you're real, you need to speak to me right now. And then I proceeded to say this. If you're not going to have the conversation with me right now, you might as well kill me now, and then we will come face to face, and therefore you will need to have a conversation with me. Well, you know, everybody, that's 21. But there's something so significant about that I don't ever want to lose as a 40-year-old, maybe 44. I don't want to lose the determination. I don't want to lose the face-to-face confrontation where I'm not going to move from your presence because I know that you want to speak to me. It's determination. Face to face with a God who wants to answer you. And as I kept yelling to him and raising my voice to him, I think he liked it. He likes a person that wants to hear from him. And then I heard these words. I want you to go to the door. I want you to go down two flights of stairs. And at the end of the stairs, you're going to see a little girl. And I was just thinking, did I hear that? That's what we start to do. We start to interpret in our mind, will, and was that really God right there? And I just thought, I'm going to take a chance. I'm just going to step out. I'm not going to listen to the natural right now. I asked to hear his voice, and I'm going to believe that God is speaking to me right now. You see, when you start to go through the wall, when you start to believe what God is saying to you, there's an identification that starts to happen. He starts to identify who you are to him, but you become identified with who he is to you. He starts to call you by his Spirit. He sees you by his Spirit, and you start to see, wow, God, you don't see me in my mind, my will, and emotions. You don't see me in my limitations, in my failings. You see me in my spirit, who you've created me to be. I am your daughter right now, and I have access to God right now, and I have access to the supernatural, and you've got me in this season, in this place and time, because you've called me to walk through a door that once you open, no man can shut. God wants to open doors for you. He is opening doors, but he doesn't want you staying here saying, I just don't know if it's your voice. He wants you to be confident. He's caused you to be confident. How? The Holy Spirit lives in you. Who is the Holy Spirit? Boldness and power to do what the natural cannot do. I think coming to the wall gives you an ability to wait on God. There was nothing back for me there. I had all the voices. I had all the perceptions. They had summed up what was going on. But how many of you know that God has another way where there is no way? His spirit was in control and my spirit was in total alignment. I was going to believe him. You know how it feels for your soul not to be in control? Liberating. For your mind not be racing, dictating, declaring over you. I'm sick of listening to my mind, will and emotions. I'm sick of giving in to my feelings. I love my feelings, but they are not going to rule me to the point that I come out of the alignment with God. Your spirit is meant to pave the way, control your emotional realm, not the other way around. It's access. It's incredible boldness. I was about to walk through a door that no man could shut. It was access to transformation. And so I went to the door, opened up the door, could not see anything down below. And I walked down two flights of stairs and lo and behold, I just that moment where God's word connects to the promise and you're seeing what he's declared in the spiritual and you start to see it in the natural and you know these are not just words on a page anymore. The book of life has become my life and I'm walking in what God is saying. And I see this little girl and she's 8 years of age. God said, you will see a little girl. She is 8 years of age and I want you to talk to her about the Holy Spirit. I want you to spend time with her. And when I walked down their stairs, there's a little girl. The first thing I said to her is, how old are you? And she said, 8. And I said, what is your name? She said, my name's Esther. And I said, can I tell you about the Holy Spirit? Yes. I'm a perfect stranger from another country. You need to think about that. The way the Holy Spirit makes a way where there is no way. And I started to speak to her about the Holy Spirit and how he wants to be in relationship with you and he wants to walk with you and he wants to help you and sustain you. But he wants to show you doors to a God that is real and to a God that heals and to a God that sees and to a God that knows what no man can know in the natural but only what God can reveal by his spirit. Can I tell you about the Holy Spirit? And she looked at me with these beautiful eyes and just said, yes, tell me everything. And so we went upstairs and I prayed for her and the Holy Spirit and his power and his personality. The Holy Spirit has a personality. He is a real person that when Jesus went to the cross and went to be with his Father in heaven, he did not leave us alone. He sent the Holy Spirit to come and help you. Jesus could only walk around you, but now Jesus said, there's got to be something more because I need my power not to be around you, but to be in you and to be walking with you. And that is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has been sent here to radically and powerfully transform your life. And as we started to pray for her, something started to happen that I've never seen before. And I saw the Holy Spirit just coming upon her and I saw the power of God upon her and it was like she fell back of where she was and she couldn't stand anymore. And then her eyes were closed and she just kept staying there. I'm like, the power of God is coming upon her. And I'm sitting there going, I walked through the door and this is not just for me. It's for someone else. You see, the door is not just for you. It's for the generations and the generations to come because we've got to take the stories of God and we've got to pass them down to the next generation. And I saw the power of God coming on her. And about an hour or two later, she comes to like she's been asleep. I've never seen this before and I didn't know how to interpret it, but I waited because I knew that I needed to wait for God's interpretation on this. And as she came to, I said, Esther, what happened? And she was just so overcome because God had taken her to heaven. She had this vision and she said, you know, I came to these gates and I just saw that it was all gold and Jesus was standing in the gate and he just was clothed in white, and he had blue eyes and red lips, and he took me by the hand, and he just led me through the gates, and I saw all these animals that I could approach, and animals that would come to me. And then he took me into these rooms, and I came into this room where there was this beautiful artwork, and I got my finger, and I just went across the edge of it, and I said, "No dust." That's a very interesting comment for an 8-year-old child when India is full of dust. Little things that just let you know where she's been as an 8-year-old child. And she said to me, "Can I bring my friends back?" And I said, "Of course you can." She wanted them to hear what she had just heard. She wanted them to see what she had just seen. "Anyone who calls upon the Lord shall be saved. Whoever seeks me shall find me." And she found him. But she didn't want it to stop there, because she knew what was on the other side of the door. And she knew that it couldn't be just for her, and nobody had to tell her that, but it's what God was doing through her that wanted to bring others with her to now know and to see what she had found. Hebrews 4:16 says, "The high priest, now that we know what we have Jesus," she started to know what was happening. "Now that we know what we have Jesus, this great high priest with ready access to God, let's not let it slip through our fingers. With confidence, without fear." We don't have a priest. We don't have a God. We don't have Jesus who is out of touch with our reality. He's been through the weakness and the testings of the walls. He's experienced it all but the sin. So let's walk right up to him and get what he is so ready to give. Discover the grace we urgently need to strengthen us in the time of weakness. Take the mercy. Accept the help. It's an appropriate blessing coming just at the right moment. When I faced this wall, I was made to feel like a grasshopper. But when I approached God, in him I was a giant. We can't approach walls and stay in our feelings. It's our spirit that has to rise up and come and face to face with God. His power, his transformation wants to come upon you. That day he took the stand in me. But it wasn't the only wall I was going to face, so God had to teach me how to take my stand so I would know how to walk through every wall that would come my way. And Addison says, amen. God can move through you when your spirit is strong. When you can speak back his word, he can move through you when your spirit is strong. A door open. What does a door open do? A strong spirit makes a way for God to move, establishes your feet to stand firm. Build a strong spirit within me, God. Doubt and unbelief shuts the door. However, a strong spirit makes way a door in which God can move. I knew that there was more in God. I had seen more before India. I had heard more. And that's what I was saying, God, why am I here? I was here because people had been investing in me for years. People had been speaking the word of God, the word of hope, the word of love. They had been speaking that over me for years and years, been praying for me. You see, your discipleship and prayers are so important for the next generation. What you've seen in God needs to be told. And that's why I knew that there was more than what I was seeing. That's what caused me to go through the wall, but to journey through the wall to see a door of transformation, because I'd heard from the generations before me that God moved in miraculous power and can transform everyone and everything around them. 2 Corinthians 10 says this, "For although we live in the natural realm, we don't wage a military campaign employing human weapons, using manipulation to achieve our aims. Instead, our spiritual weapons are energized with divine power to effectively dismantle the defenses behind which people hide. We can demolish every deceptive fantasy that opposes God and break through every arrogant attitude that is raised up in defiance of the true knowledge of God. We capture, like prisoners of war, every thought and insist that it bow in obedience to the Anointed One. When she came back with her friends, she brought about 5 to 10 friends at a time. And I saw exactly what was happening to her on them. But the power of God started to increase because those who seek me shall find me. I'm going to open up a door that only I can keep open, that no man can keep shut. And I saw over the next 5 days just streams and streams of children coming in. And instead of going under the power of God for an hour or two, it was lasting up to 5 to 7 hours where they were having visions of Jesus themselves. They were crying. These are 8 to 10-year-old children. You cannot keep children that still for that long. I know. Amen, every parent in the room. I just need more of the power of God, like, boof, on my kids. They're getting older. It's okay. We're moving in a different realm. You can't make that happen in the natural. What is it in your natural that only God can do? Come on. What is it that is facing you? What wall are you in that you know this is only something God can do? Those children were radically transformed. They were speaking, when they're under the power of God, they were speaking of the delights of what they were seeing in God. And when they would come to, it was like they'd been asleep, but they'd been in the presence of God where he was showing them and he was loving them and he was speaking to them, and they were radically transformed. And that's what God wants for your life. Every time you come to a wall, it is not meant to be your opposition. It is a doorway that leads you to the transformation that is not only for you, but it is for others. Why? So we can hear what our Father is saying to us. We can hear his words of delight in us. We can hear his words of love towards us, that I've got a plan, I've got a purpose, I've got a life for you. That you have access to me. You have access to healing. You have access to that word when confrontation comes. You have access to my direction. You have access to me. And God wants you to have that access this morning. Hebrews 13 says, "For he, God himself, has said, I will not in any way fail you, nor give you up, nor leave you without support. I will not, I will not, I will not in any degree leave you helpless, nor forsake you, nor let you down. Relax my hold on you, assuredly not." He wants you to cast your cares upon him. You know what that means? Every care that you have, imagine it like a massive bag on your shoulders, and it's weighing you down with the cares of this world. Your cares are not irrelevant. Don't let anybody tell you that your cares are irrelevant, but they are not stronger than our God. He did not want you or cause you to walk with burden. But this morning, with that bag, you know what it actually means to cast your cares? Get that bag and hurl it over. It actually meant on a donkey or a beast or an ox. Hurl it over, because you were never designed to carry the cares of this world. Your God was designed to carry the cares of the world. You were designed to walk in victory. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. I cast my cares, for he cares for me. I was meant to walk in victory. As the band comes this morning, Jude 1:24 says, "Now to the one with enough power to prevent you from stumbling into sin and bring you faultless before his glorious presence, to stand before him with ecstatic delight," not wobbling, can I do this, or the wall, the opposition, he's caused you to stand. ecstatically with delight. To the only God, our Savior, through our Lord Jesus Christ, be endless glory and majesty, great power and authority, from before he created time and now, throughout all the ages of eternity. He wants to keep you on your feet this morning, standing tall in his bright presence, fresh and celebrating, not weighed down with all the cares of this world, standing fresh and settled and determined and at peace, because you know who your God is and who brings victory into your life. 1 Peter 5:10, and I finish with this. It says, and then after your brief suffering, the God of all loving grace, who has called you to share. Jesus wants to share with you his healing, his answers, his direction. He wants to share this with you to make you stronger than ever. He will personally and powerfully restore you and make you stronger than ever. Yes, he will set you firmly in place, and he is the one that will build you up. God of all grace, what does it mean to stand? He will perfect you. He will strengthen you. He will establish you. But here's the thing, he'll settle you. He'll settle your mind to believe that I don't have to waver, but I can believe. You know, I went to a conference this year about 5 weeks ago. And you see, Esther, from an 8-year-old girl, has been looking for me for the last 20 years. And through the powers that be of Facebook, finally we could do that. And she said to me, I've never met her since then. She said, I'm going to be at this conference. I'm going to be in Sydney. I'm traveling over from India. Will you be there? Can we meet? And I said, yes, I will be there, in fact, and we can meet each other. And so there was this moment where, and I was nervous, and it was anticipation, because she's been an 8-year-old girl in my head for so long. I don't know what she's like as a woman today in her early 30s. And when I saw her coming out the door, it was like everything from the door came readily back to me. And God was saying, it might have taken 20 years. It might have taken a long time to wait for the promise of what you saw then to happen again today. But you need to know that as I saw her, God was speaking to me saying, the door is open again. The door is open to the supernatural. Your promises that I gave you back from that wall, they're open again to you today. And I want you to walk through them. And as she walked to me and I hugged her and she hugged me back, she just broke into tears and sobbed on me for 10 minutes. And as we started to have the conversation, you know what I realized? It wasn't just my door. It's been her door. It's been her journey. All those desires and those promises that came from that moment of the supernatural transformation of God, it was still in her, just like it was in me. And as we talked, I started to hear her side and how that when I left, she kept continuing it on. An 8-year-old girl, she'd just pick up a Bible and pick up a verse that she didn't really understand, speak it out, and the power of God would just come. And hundreds got saved, got filled with the Holy Spirit, radically transformed. And I just heard 5 weeks ago that they're all in ministry today. Hallelujah. She kept saying to me, Naomi, you have to come to India. You have to come to India. And I'm like, oh, she's just being nice to me. But she just kept saying it. And this November, I'm going back to India to meet all those people that we went through the door with. And your pastor is so excited. Your pastor is so aligned to the Word of God, because I know that today the door's open to you. How do you get through the door? Your words. It's that easy. It's your words. You have to say the same thing as God, believing him that he who promised a good work that he started with you will will complete it. He will finish it. He will do it. He wants to cause you to stand so you can walk through the walls and see the doors that are open to you. Father God, I just pray as we stand in this place today, Holy Spirit, that you are causing everybody to stand. What makes us stand? The Holy Spirit that stands already within us. That as we believe our promises, as we believe the words that you have spoken to us, that you will cause us to stand upon your word and not break alignment, Father. Not break alignment, because we believe that you are a God that can most certainly do all things in Jesus' name. So we just praise you. We just love you this morning, and we're going to worship you and come into your...
You know, you might be in this place. You might be watching online this morning, and you don't know who Jesus is personally. And hear this message about standing and not allowing walls to confine you and define you. How do I do that? Well, the truth of the matter is we can only do it through Jesus, through his power dwelling in us. And just before we finish this morning, if you're in this place and you don't know Jesus personally, you don't know that he died on a cross, was buried and rose again on the third day so that your sins could be forgiven and you could be restored in perfect relationship with him. That's what the Christian life is truly all about. And so just with everyone's eyes closed, if you're watching online, this moment's for you as well. We're going to give you the opportunity in a moment to confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. That's how you learn how to stand powerfully in life. And so if that's you this morning, just on the count of three, I'm going to give you the opportunity to put your hand up and say, yeah, that's me. I want to follow Jesus. I want to walk with him. So on the count of three this morning, 1, 2, 3. If that's you, just lift up your hand. Once you've lifted up, you can put it down. Is there anyone that said, yeah, awesome, thank you so much, you can put your hand down. Is there anyone else today say, yeah, I want to follow Jesus, I want to know him personally? If you're watching online, you do that this morning. Put your hand up, say, yeah, God, that's me. You're not putting it up for me. You're responding to God and say, yeah, I want to know. Yeah, awesome, thank you. Is there anyone else that needs to do that today? Awesome, thank you. Is there anyone else? Said at least three people with their hands up so far. Is there anybody else? Say, yeah, I want faith. I want eternity with God. Just with your eyes closed this morning, we're going to pray a prayer of asking Jesus to come into our heart, ask for forgiveness of our sins, and go on to walk a beautiful relationship and know God personally. So with our eyes closed, why don't we pray that together? If you're praying for the first time, you've prayed it before, but the church is going to join in and actually support you in praying that. Let's pray. Dear God, I thank you that you sent Jesus. I confess with my mouth and believe in my heart that he is Lord, and you raised him from the dead. Forgive me of all my sins. From this day on, I choose to follow you. I surrender my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Awesome. Can we celebrate those people responding this morning? So good. So if you're in this room after the service, can I encourage you, if you prayed that prayer for the first time or you've prayed it before but you haven't quite been walking where you're meant to be walking, on the way out, can I encourage you to, there's a little booklet on the way out called First Steps. Take one. It tells you what to do next in following Jesus. If you don't have a Bible today, if you're in this room, anybody, if you don't have a Bible, can you grab one on the way out? We want you to take a Bible home with you so that you can have your own Bible. Amen. If you're watching online, go to gc.org.au/firststeps. All that information is there and how to get in contact with us as well.